All right, here we go. Episode 7 of the Reporter's Corner. I'm one half your co-host, Jared Rubato from the Bemidji Pioneer. With me is my other half, the co-host, Trent Singer from Sioux Falls Live. Trent, how are we doing today?
Doing good, Jared. Doing good. Just got done doing another awesome chat on the CCHA show, and these things just keep stacking up for us, man. We're getting pretty lucky.
Yeah, I mean, we brought on another defenseman, shocker, another Michigan area defenseman today. But this one is no ties to Little Caesars. We are done with Little Caesars for one week. We brought on Dalton Norris from Bowling Green. He has an outstanding story. Trent, give us a rundown of his career and what we talked about.
Yeah, we'll be back with the Little Caesars beat hopefully in the next few weeks. Dalton's a great chat. His dad, Dwayne, played in the NHL very briefly. And he's another guy. You know, we had Chase Pietola on last week, and this week we've got Dalton Norris, and two guys who both have a lot in common in a lot of senses in their families, kind of very hockey centric families. If you'll know correctly, Dalton's brother, Josh, is actually playing for the Ottawa Senators right now and is a top six forward for them and was an all NHL rookie team guy. So we talked a little bit about that, you know, just growing up in a hockey family and what that's like, what that was like for him. He played his AAA with the Oakland Junior Grizzlies in the Detroit area, and then had a USHL stint with the Lincoln Stars, in which I think he was a captain his third season. So we talked a little bit about that as well, and then how he got to Bowling Green and the recruiting process and all that. And he's now a junior this year under their new coach, Dennis Williams, who's taken over that Bowling Green program. And coming off a bye week, they are 5-3 in the conference and just swept their first series at home against Ferris State. So, Dalton was another awesome chat with some cool connections to the pro game too. And, him and his brothers have grown up kind of playing with the Hughes brothers. And so we talked a little bit about that and whatnot. And, got to talk a little bit about scooters. Scott Jess, the equipment manager at Bowling Green, who is very well known, has been doing it for a long time. And then talked a little bit about his goaltender as well, and Cole Moore. So, yeah, I really think you guys are in for a treat, especially if you're Bowling Green fans. I think you'll really enjoy this interview with another awesome guest that we had on, and Dalton Norris.
Absolutely. So let's kick it over to our interview with Dalton.
All right. Well, welcome into another episode of the Reporter's Corner. We got another good one here. We're joined by Bowling Green's Dalton Norris, who's coming off a CCHA Defenseman of the Week honor. From the Falcons sweep at home against Ferris State this weekend, and just another defenseman. We have just loaded up on defensemen lately.
You're the fourth straight defenseman we've had.
Fourth straight. So yeah,
that's awesome.
How's everything going, man? We're happy to have you on.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Everything's going good. Just had a little bit of a skill session this morning with the guys, and rest of the day is just schoolwork. So. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, let's get into it. Obviously, we'll start a little bit with how you guys are doing this year. 5-3 off the rip. Really good start to the year. What's the biggest part of your guys' early season success so far?
I'd say a lot of it has to do with just us kind of worrying about us. I think when you kind of face certain opponents, you can kind of get caught up in what they're doing and, you know, their way of playing the game and stuff like that. But I think an emphasis from Coach Williams and the rest of the group has just been to play our game. I think we're playing a little bit different of a style this year, pretty fast paced, pretty physical. So I think honestly, the biggest thing for us has just been worrying about us, making sure that our details are honed in, making sure that we're dialed into the game. And then we feel like if we play a good 60 minutes like that, that the rest will kind of take care of itself. So obviously we've been fortunate enough to get some wins under our belt too, but it's more about, you know, playing the right way.
You know, I'm kind of doing a little research on you. Your story's really fascinating in that you've been surrounded by hockey for pretty much your entire life. Your father, Dwayne, played in the NHL briefly with the Quebec Nordiques and the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim. And your brother, Josh, currently a top six forward for the Ottawa Senators. I mean, even your Uncle Warren played at UMass in the 90s. Did we miss anybody here?
My oldest brother played 4 years at Ferris and did a fifth year at Bowling Green, actually. So there's four of us in the family.
Right. But...
kind of played.
So. That's right. That's kind of where the Bowling Green connection is, I think, too. How can, what can you tell us just about growing up in that sort of hockey-centric environment, what that was like for you?
So you're right. I had a little bit of a unique path. So my dad ended up, he played 4 years at Michigan State, was drafted out of Michigan State, had a cup of coffee up and down the NHL, the American League. And then he took his path over to Europe. So he was over in Europe for about 10 or 12 years. You know, he was married to my mom at the time, had my two older brothers. And then I actually ended up being born over there in Cologne, Frankfurt area. So I was born in Germany. I was raised there until I was about 10. We would come back in the summers. My mom's originally from Michigan. So we'd come back in the summers, hang out with my family in Michigan. And then during the winters, during the season, we'd go back over to Europe and watch my dad play. So honestly, it's just been a blessing. You know, I kind of got to grow up around the guys, grow up around pro hockey. Me and my two brothers, you know, getting pulled out of school early, going to morning skates, stuff like that. So it really has been awesome. My dad's originally from Newfoundland, him and his two brothers, Newfoundland, Canada. So obviously they're super familiar with hockey and that's kind of where our roots came from. But, it really has been awesome. You know, we came back home when we were around 10, grew up playing for the Oakland Junior Grizzlies there in the Troy, Michigan area. Played there until I was about 18 and then ended up playing 3 years in USHL in Lincoln. So honestly, it's every stop I've had has been awesome. You learn a ton along the way and having support from, you know, my mom, my dad, my two brothers, my uncles, just people who have been around the game, people who have been, you know, at a high level. It's obviously something that I never take for granted. So
I want to ask you about Germany because you, you said you lived there until you're 10. You know, what, first of all, when was your first trip to the United States and what was it like growing up playing hockey in Germany?
So my first trip back was I was born in September. So I was over there from September until about April. And then my first trip back was to Michigan from, you know, the rest of the summer or whatever it is, April till August or whenever my dad had to go back. So I ended up doing that. And then playing in Germany was fun. It was a different experience. It's a different type of atmosphere over there. You know, I don't know if you guys, how familiar you are with European hockey, but just the atmosphere is crazy. You know, just them waving flags during the games, mm-hmm. having chants almost every second of the game. Playing over there was a little bit different. Obviously, I was a younger age. I only played over there from around age 4 till about 9 or 10. So I didn't get the full experience. But, you know, it was definitely, like I said, it was a blessing and something that I never take for granted. But it's definitely a cool culture, cool atmosphere over there in Europe.
Did you have to make any adjustments to playing, you know, with Oakland there in AAA? I know it's a while ago and you're a young kid, mm-hmm. right? But like, I'm sure hockey styles are a little different even at a young age. And so talk about that adjustment and then how that adjustment kind of helped you prepare for playing junior hockey.
Yeah, honestly, the biggest adjustment was over in Europe, I was a forward. So I came back over from Europe. I was a forward up until I was around 10 years old. You know, I think every young kid loves scoring right. goals, loves getting yeah. points. So, and then it was when I was around 11, I played for the Troy Sting, which was a AA program at the time. And it's funny how it works out. We just didn't have enough D. So my dad's like, you know what? Like, we need to try someone out back there. Like, you're kind of the first guy. Like, you're my son. Like, you're the first one that gets to do it. So I ended up going on the back end and it's been history ever since. I loved it. I honestly probably was better at it. So I just kind of stuck with it. And then obviously just my experiences and stuff has been awesome. Like bringing it over from Europe. Honestly, the biggest thing, I was at a young age. So like skill wise and style of game doesn't necessarily, you know, affect kids at that level. But it was, they're big on skill development over there. So I think I was honed in on my skills maybe a little bit earlier than kids were over here. And then there was some stuff that I was lacking, you know, my skating wasn't great. Physicality is a little bit different in North America. So that was stuff that I kind of had to get adjusted to, but they do a good job of developing players over in Germany.
Yeah. Kind of after that too, you know, you took the junior hockey ranks and I think in 2019, Lincoln Stars took you in the fourth round of the USHL draft. I mean, from there you played 3 seasons of junior hockey with Lincoln. Just from a development standpoint, how big was that experience for you?
The experience was huge. Honestly, the biggest thing I probably learned in my 3 years in Lincoln was patience. You know, my first year in junior, I was coming out of U18 hockey. You know, anyone that's ever taken that leap from AAA to junior knows how hard it is, especially in a league like the USHL. So, you know, Lincoln kind of took a chance on me. They knew I was going to be a little bit of a project, probably a 2 or a 3 year guy. You know, my first year, I had to get my feet wet a little bit. I was like a offensive power play guy in youth hockey, but you know, in juniors, there's just so many good players and there wasn't really a whole lot of room on me, for me on that, you know, on that power play my first year. So I had to adjust, be patient. You know, I found my role a little bit on the penalty kill, you know, playing later in games, you know, when your team's up one or two goals and you need to shut it down. And then I think just as the years went on, I started to slowly develop my offensive game a little bit too. Obviously you earn trust from coaches, stuff like that. So it's, it was fun. It was a good progression over my 3 years. Like I said, I think patience was probably the biggest thing I learned, just because, you know, you might think that you deserve something, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get it. Right. So, for me, just staying patient, making sure that, you know, I put my head down, worked hard, listened to my coaches. And at the end of the day, you know, it ended up working out in the end, which I'm very grateful for.
You talked about it a little bit, but, you know, finding kind of your lane on the power play too. And your last year in Lincoln, you had 19 talks on the power play. I mean, that's insane, even for a defenseman. Well, you know, just walk me through how comfortable you felt in that role by your last year in the USHL.
Yeah, it was funny. You know, going into the year, I didn't really expect much. Rocky Russo was just hired. It was my third coach in 3 years there. So I kind of had to, you know, make my ranks again. I had to, you know, earn Rocky's trust, make sure that he knew that he could put me out in any situation. And to be completely honest with you, that year was just, I was surrounded by a lot of good players. We had Joe LeMay, who was drafted by Washington, running the top of the power play, you know, unbelievably deceptive, great shot. We had Aiden Thompson, draft pick Chicago Blackhawks, coming downhill. He could find a seam like it was his job. And then obviously we plugged in some other players and ended up having a really good power play. But all credit, honestly, goes to all the other guys that were on that unit, because we did have, obviously, a lot of success, but they did a good job of getting me the puck, and, you know, I ended up, you know, putting a few behind the goalie, so.
Yeah, and you were also named a captain that year, too. What did that mean to you?
It was huge, honestly. You know, leadership's been something that I've always taken pride in. I think when you have family that's grown around the game, I think you get acclimated and used to it a little bit more maybe than some other kids. And so for me, you know, I wanted to make sure I took pride in that. I wanted to make sure that I took pride in taking care of our guys, taking care of the coaching staff, kind of being that middleman in between, you know, the players and the coaches. And, you know, it was obviously Rocky put a lot of trust in me, giving me the C my last year. I felt like I did a good job of developing over my 3 years and, you know, happened to get the votes from the players and stuff, which obviously meant a lot to me.
Well, I'm curious to know about the recruiting process for you. Were there any other schools you were talking to before you made your decision on where you wanted to play collegiately? And when did you ultimately decide? And what can you just sort of tell us about, you know, that recruiting process and how you ended up at Bowling Green?
Yeah, so I was a little bit of a late bloomer. I don't think I really hit my stride until 17, 18, 19. You know, so I think for me, the biggest thing was it was over COVID. So we weren't able to go, you know, see any facilities or see any universities or anything like that. So I honestly didn't have a ton of options. I wasn't, you know, wasn't full of offers or anything like that. I took a virtual visit to Air Force. That was my first official visit. And honestly, that was something that I was considering at the time. You know, the uncertainty in the world and COVID and scholarships and stuff like that. They did a really good job of recruiting me and pushing me hard to hopefully eventually commit to Air Force. But that's kind of when Bowling Green stepped in. And for me, BG's always kind of been on my radar. You know, I'm a kid from Detroit. Bowling Green's about an hour and a half away, straight shot, I-75. I was always super familiar with their culture, their history, their hockey program. And so when they kind of came along COVID year, it was kind of a no-brainer for me. You know, close to home, really good school, really good hockey school. You know, hockey's kind of their main sport. So for me, honestly, they stepped in, started recruiting me, and I was pretty set on, okay, this is where I want to go. And, you know, kind of worked out that way too.
Yeah, your brother played there. I mean, you mentioned that before as well, Cole. I mean, how much did that sort of factor into your decision as well?
Yeah, it was honestly a huge factor. So when I committed my COVID year, there was a chance that I had thought maybe I was going to go in that following year. And obviously that following year would have meant I would have played with my brother, which would have been pretty special and pretty cool. But in hindsight, it ended up being, you know, something that worked out really well. My brother went there for his fifth year. He got a feel for it, got to kind of give me some advice, some tips on what's going on, you know, what Bowling Green's kind of all about. So for me, it would have been awesome to have played with him. But he was, you know, instrumental in terms of me just feeling comfortable going into Bowling Green, me feeling like it's the right spot. So it was really honestly a perfect storm that he got to go in there a year before me, and obviously now I'm here.
What do you remember about your first kind of taste of collegiate hockey? Like, did you have a, you know, kind of a welcome to college hockey moment where you're like, oh man, these kids are a little bit bigger and faster?
Oh yeah, I totally do. I tell this story most of the time. So we were, our first game was on the road at Western on a Thursday. It was their home opener. And I remember we were in the tunnel behind the rink, and you can't see the rink yet, until you walk out. And so all of a sudden there's just a huge roar in the crowd. And I was like, what are they playing on like the Jumbotron? I was like, well, their speakers must be on volume 1,000. Like, what's going on here? And so we slow, and this is before warmups. It hasn't even, the game hasn't even started. So we slowly walk out of the tunnel, and just the whole side of the rink is all white student section filled to the brim. And I remember my stomach just dropped, and I was like, oh, like, here we go. Like, this is a man's game. This is going to be a man's game tonight. And so I remember just first three or four shifts, they hemmed us in our own end, just physical, pounding pucks. Like, it was crazy. The student section was chanting. That's kind of when I knew college hockey was a whole different animal.
You missed some time over the Christmas break last season, but then you came back and you finished the season with 10 points. Then, you guys go through the coaching change and Dennis Williams comes in to take over the program. I'm curious to know, though, what was sort of the team's collective mindset during all that?
It speaks volumes because we had 25 guys on our team come back and we didn't have a single guy enter the portal.
Yeah.
So I think we might have been the only team. There might have been one other college team that had no one enter the portal. But, it just kind of speaks volume to the culture we have at BG. We didn't really know at the time that Willie was going to get hired. And to be quite frank, we didn't really care who was going to get hired. We wanted to stay together as a group. We really enjoyed being around each other. We felt like we were slowly starting to build something special here. So for us, honestly, it was just more, okay, let's stay in the moment. Let's, have each other's backs. Let's do this all together. And then it's all going to work out in the end. So obviously we're here now in this point. Willie's here. He's been great for us. He's been great for our group. But more importantly, we're just having fun. Collectively, the 30 of us, the 25 of us that came back, we have a really good group here. And I think us all staying and not entering the portal kind of speaks volume to what we have going on here.
And that's that, to me, that's the story of this team this year. One of two teams in this conference that had a coaching change, and even despite a coaching change, not a single person entered the portal. The only school in the CCHA with no players who entered the transfer portal. And you mentioned it. And when I talked with Coach Williams in the offseason about it, he said as much, that the players had this already kind of in their minds. I'm curious to know, when you got that opportunity to meet Coach Williams and kind of see what he was all about, how much did that sort of reinforce that decision from all you guys to stick together? Because in a lot of ways, you guys did it for each other. But then you had a coach that came in and sort of reinforced it in a lot of ways. Is that right to say?
For sure, yeah. I mean, honestly, the biggest thing for us is the fact that Willie came in and kept us all. Mm-hmm. Like we had 25 guys, and he could easily have said, hey, there's a couple of you that, maybe go play somewhere else, or maybe there's better opportunities somewhere else. He could have easily came in and said that as well. So I think the reinsurance was kind of right there, right when he walked in the door and said, this is our group. I remember the first day he said, I'm not focused on next year. I'm not focused on 3 years down the line. I'm focused on this group right here, right now. And I think as soon as he said that and we all kind of realized, okay, like he's invested in us, he cares about us. That's kind of when we knew he was the right, the right hire for us. And obviously we're off to a good start. Still a long way to go, but I think we all feel good about kind of where we're heading.
You talk about the bond that you guys have, the 25 year that had a chance to come back, and it came out of a season where you guys got off to a slow start. There was obviously the off the ice stuff, then boom, mm-hmm. 2 weeks left in the regular season. You guys are right in the thick of it. Is kind of moving through that all of last season. Did that kind of make you guys a little bit, closer together? Talk about how that kind of bonded you guys.
For sure. I mean, obviously, I think most people that follow our conference, follow our team, are aware of what happened last year. Obviously, an unfortunate incident and something that we can all learn from. But I think for us, honestly, the biggest thing was when you go through something like that, it's just natural tendency just to rely on one another and come together as a group, you know? Obviously last year we were at the top of things, and I remember we had won, I think, 4 or 6 straight, and we were like, okay, like we're right in this. You know, it didn't work out the way we wanted to. Obviously you always want to end up winning the conference or winning a trophy and whatnot, but there's a lot of life lessons learned along the way, whether that be hockey or not hockey. A lot of stuff that, you know, we can look back on and say, okay, we got through this. This is something that we did together. And I think it's only strengthened our group, you know, this year. We had guys come in from the portal. You know, we have guys from all over the world. We have guys from Norway. We have guys from Sweden, Slovakia, Russia, Germany, you name it. So there's a ton of different personalities in our locker room. But I think the 25 of us especially do just a really good job of including everyone, making sure that everyone knows it's a family around here. And, you know, life lessons, like you said, that we learned from last year is definitely stuff that we took, you know, going into this year.
How has Coach Williams sort of stepped in and just really in a lot of ways just added his own flair to what was already in place there? I mean, look, I find it fascinating that you guys, he came in and retained the entire previous staff of assistant coaches as well. Which, you know, that's a little uncommon in this day and age. So
for sure.
I'm curious to know how has he sort of just added a little flair to what's already there, and you know, how much is he does retaining those assistants just help establish that consistency you already kind of had?
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, we all had really good relationships with our assistant coaches, and we established consistency, established a bond. You know, I think Willie's just brought in a little bit of a different intensity. You know, he's really honing in on details, small stuff that we needed to improve on, habits that we needed to break. You know, obviously he's had success at every level, whether that be in the WHL, the USHL, gold medal for Canada in the World Juniors. You know, his track record speaks for itself. So I think Willie just was kind of coming in and saying, you know what, this is our group. We're going to make sure that we're paying attention to details, hone in on the little things. And I think we all know that we're a good enough team when we play the right way that, you know, we can make some things happen. And I think Willie saw that too. And, you know, I don't think he felt like he needed to come in here and change the world, but I think he did feel like, you know, there's some habits that need to be changed, and, you know, the way we play need to be changed.
Right.
And he's obviously done a really good job of establishing an identity, establishing a culture. And obviously we still have a long way to go, see where it goes. But for right now, I think we're in a really good spot.
I want to ask you about one guy in particular in your locker room. And he's been around for a long, long time, 29 years. And it's Scott Jess, or as you guys know him as Scooter. What Scooter. Can you tell us about Scooter, the equipment manager, and what he brings to you guys?
Oh, Scooter is awesome. He's the life of the party. You know, you can't help yourself but to smile when you walk in the door and you see Scoots all giddied up, you know what I mean? He's so into sports. Like, he's got a list of teams that he follows, and if you come in the next morning and just, you know, talk to him about it, ask him, you know, how the game was, he'll just light up and talk to you all day about it. So Scooter is a bundle of joy, man. He's great. He's obviously been here a long time. You know, he teaches us lessons left and right that, you know, maybe you didn't think you were going to get from an equipment guy and stuff like that. So he's awesome. He really is the life of the party. He's the gel of the team. And, you know, we appreciate everything Scooter does for us.
And, you know, his big trademark is the diamond cutter. Everybody yeah. loves the diamond cutter. You know, for those who are unaware, he does this little jumps on the box, does the diamond cutter thing, right, after a big sweep. So what do you know about the diamond cutter, maybe how it started, and what does it do for you guys? Like, how, you know, what's that moment like in the locker room after a sweep?
Oh, the moment itself is awesome. I mean, I don't know if you guys have seen videos, but like we'll wave towels around, we'll throw stuff. I mean, it's a gong show. It's just Scooter's time. you know, it's kind of funny just because when you sweep, you want to, you know, you have a win song, you have this or that. And my first time we swept, I was like, what's going on here? Like, we're whipping out a cooler and like everyone's yelling Scooter. I was like, what's the big deal here? And then he just, you know, his big smile goes around the room, gives everyone high fives, chest bumps. Then all of a sudden you just see him hop on the cooler, jump off with the diamond cutter. I honestly don't know a ton of history around it.
Yeah.
But it's just, man, oh man. Every time you see him do it, it's just, you can't help but laugh or smile and just appreciate the fact that Scooter is Scooter and he's the best.
Yeah, he's no doubt. Great guy. Great guy.
Definitely a guy who brings some joy, and you got to have that too. And it's especially those elated moments, right? Mm-hmm. Another guy I want to ask about is your young goaltender. You know, Cole Moore arrived on the scene last season as a freshman and kind of took this conference by storm. What can you tell us about Cole and how much he's meant to this team just kind of since he got here? He's a big guy. I mean, you don't really see, you know, I think in this day and age, you're seeing a lot more of these smaller goaltenders. Cole's one of those, you know, 6'6", 6'7", like he's a big guy.
Yeah. I mean, Morrissey's our rock. You know, there's even a couple times this past weekend where it's a 2-1 game or it's a 3-2 game and you need a big save and Morrissey's right there. You know, he works super hard. He's super attentive to his details. You know, I can't say enough good things about Morrissey, and he truly does have pro potential. I mean, when do you see a goalie that's 6'6", that's filled out his body, that can move side to side like he does? So honestly, every time he's in the net, builds up, gives us confidence as a team, you know, knowing that if there is a mistake that's going to be made, that our guy back there can make the save. And no, he's been great. He's he truly is, you know, a pro goaltender. There's not many guys that I've played with that are that size that can move that well, especially as a goalie. So and he works really hard, which is obviously something that's kind of just expected, but he goes above and beyond.
Yeah, and he's an alien. I mean, to be that big, be that quick. I mean,
exactly.
It's insane.
Yeah.
And I also want to ask you too, because I think when you look at last year's group, right, scoring was probably the biggest knock. Where's the scoring coming from? And where's it going to come from this year? But then you look 8 games into this year, you guys have the 3rd most scoring in the CCHA. Well, where's that turnaround come from? You know, obviously it is a good start, but where have you seen that turnaround?
I think it goes back to Willie being on us just about details and scoring habits and stuff like that. I think a lot of us are starting to realize that to play pro hockey, you have to do stuff on your own and you have to do stuff off to the side, right? Like not coming to the rink and just doing what is expected of you isn't always enough. And you have to be able to do stuff, you know, away from the rink, go to the rink maybe twice and skate, work on your skills. So I think the biggest thing is for us, it's going to come by committee. You know, I don't think we have 1 or 2 guys that are going to be 20 goal scorers. I think we have a bunch of guys that can score 10, 12 goals. I think we have some defensemen that are offensive as well. And for us, I think that's been probably the biggest thing is just honing in on our details, working on our offensive instincts. And then we do feel like we have some skilled players. Like we have guys that can get hot at the right time that can score. I mean, you saw Brody Waters score 3 on Saturday, like it was nothing all around the net. So I think we have a couple of those guys that, when we play the right way, you'll start to see more guys score more and more.
Yeah, no, I awesome stuff so far, Dalton. We like to close this out with what we call some one hitters, and they're just kind of much more lighthearted and maybe don't require more thought. But you're free to elaborate as much as you want.
Okay.
First one, we'll ask it from your experience. Where's the hardest place in this conference to play?
In the conference, hardest place to play, I think Michigan Tech. I think we've gone up there a couple times for their winter carnival, and it's similar to a Western. Their student section shows out. You know, their community kind of rallies around that weekend, and that place is loud. It's a tough place to play. It's obviously long travel too, right? It doesn't necessarily benefit us all the way up north Michigan, but I think Michigan Tech's probably the hardest spot.
I got to ask you this too, because I can't remember if you were in the lineup at all, but taking a Thursday trip to Bemidji is probably a brutal road trip as well. Cause that's a far drive for a Thursday night hockey game 2 weeks before Christmas.
Yes. Last year I wasn't on the trip. I was dealing with an MCL problem, but I remember the guys had to take off a little bit early, and I don't think we had the greatest weekend, and I don't think the travel probably helped.
No. I want to go into this too. I'm going to ask you to point to a teammate again. Who is the most superstitious guy on the team, and what is their weirdest superstition?
Superstition. I don't know a ton of guys that have crazy superstitions, but one thing I started to notice, especially this weekend, is Ben Duran. He'll do this like crazy thing in front of his stall with like his toes. He'll like lift his big toes at the same time, his middle toes and his small toes. And he's like looking around the room like a little bit of a psychopath. And I just recognize, it's funny you brought that up, because I just recognized that like this weekend. I was like, what is he doing over there? He's like playing with his toes or something. And he did it both nights. So that must be something he's doing on a regular basis. But that's probably the craziest one I've seen.
It's like his own personal hype. He's just like hyping himself up. Clearly.
Yeah, he just sits in his stall and all of a sudden he's looking around the room and you see his feet just synchronized or getting lift up all of his toes. So I don't know what it does for him, but it's been working. He's been playing well. So
that's awesome. I'm curious to know, do you have a favorite team that you grew up watching? I mean, you're from your Detroit area, so I didn't know if you were a Red Wings guy. I mean, who are some of the players that you liked watching or maybe to this day still really like watching that are some of your favorites in the pro game?
Yeah, so I was a Red Wings guy growing up. I've turned into a little bit of a Senators fan because my brother's in Ottawa, so I am right. guilty of that. I watch a ton of Sens games. Honestly, like just growing up in Detroit at that time in the 2000s was the Cronwalls, the Datsuks, all those guys. Just being able to watch them, like they're world-class players. They were unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I'd say in today's day and age, Quinn Hughes, I like to watch a lot. I mean, he just gallops on the ice. He makes it look easy. It's almost laughable sometimes just seeing him with the puck. Roman Josi, Kale McCarr. I think all those guys, you know, like all the defensemen that the young kids watch, we enjoy watching as well. So
I'm a Roman Josi guy. I'm a Preds fan. So
oh, no way. Yeah, he's a pretty good player.
He's amazing.
Yes.
I want to ask you this too. And you can pick a kid anywhere in youth hockey, in the U show, in college. Who is the best player you've ever played with?
Oh, jeez.
And you can't say player. Your brother. That's the cop out. No free answers.
I wasn't going to say that anyways. I wasn't going to give him that easy of a tap. Man, Aiden Thompson, my third year in Lincoln, Nebraska, he did some stuff that I've never seen before. I mean, he had 90 points in the Western Conference of the USHL, which is tough to do. I think 90 points in any league is crazy, but he set assist records, power play records, ended up getting drafted in the third round by Chicago. But I've never seen someone climb downhill on a power play like he does and be able to find the seams. It was something crazy, something I've never seen before, putting it under guys' sticks, through people's legs. I'd say just in terms of how well he played that year and how good of a player he is, he's probably the best player I've played with.
Now, did I hear correctly that there is, you mentioned Quinn Hughes. Did I hear correctly that there's a, do you know the Hughes brothers? Is there a relationship there?
Yeah. So Quinn and Josh, my middle brother, played together at the program, the U.S. Cool. program for 2 years. And then they played at Michigan together for 2 years. And so our families ended up getting really close. Jack is my best buddy. He's my guy. Awesome. I love that guy. Quinn and Luke, I'm really close with too. So we work out all together in the summers, the three brothers. So it's kind of cool dynamic. It's not often you get three brothers in each family that, you know, played at a high level. So I think we kind of use that to bond with one another. You know, we hang out in the summers, get away from hockey, go on the boat, play golf. So I'm really fortunate. I am really close with those guys.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And yeah. Last one, and we've been asking players around the CCHA this question recently because we've gotten some good answers. Who is the best golfer on the team and who is the biggest sandbagger on the team?
I knew my two answers as soon as you said it. Best golfer is Pete Eigner. He's a good golfer. Okay. He lives here in Bowling Green. He's pretty familiar with the course. It's his home course. So I'll give it to Pete. He's probably the best golfer. Biggest sandbagger is definitely Gustav Sternberg. I mean, I remember we did like a 20 guy scramble with like 10 teams of two before the year started, just while we were doing spring workouts on like a Friday or Saturday. We thought it was going to be a cool team bonding thing to do. And we all put in our handicaps in the group chat, and Gustav put something like a 12 or a 14. And I'm like, I've seen you hit the ball a mile. Like I've seen you only shoot in the low 80s or high 70s. There's no way you're a 12. And the funny thing is he ended up being my partner.
Oh my God.
We didn't end up winning. We both had bad days, but he's for sure the biggest sandbagger. I remember that at the start of the year.
That's fantastic. I'm glad you said Pete Eigner too. He's I grew up with his, obviously Ty. They grew up in Brainerd, so you know that's a local connection here to Ty. Back so he's a great awesome. Kid.
Great family.
So that's all we got for you. So thank you so much for joining the show. This was outstanding.
Yeah. No, this was awesome. Thanks for having me on, guys. It's super cool you guys do this.
All right, once again, thank you to Dalton Norris for joining the CCHA show. Subscribe to the CCHA show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from. And subscribe to the CCHA on YouTube. Follow us on Twitter at Trent Singer and at Jared Rebato BP. You can check out our work at BemidjiPioneer.com and SiouxFallsLive.com. Thanks.